नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नहि कश्चित् क्षणम् अपि जातु तिष्ठति अकर्मकृत् कार्यते हि अवशा कर्म गुणाय स्वाभाविकाय बलात् नहि कश्चित् क्षणम् अपि जातु तिष्ठत्य कर्मकृत् कार्यते ह्यवशा कर्म गुणाय स्वाभाविकाय बलात् नहि कश्चित् क्षणम् अपि जातु तिष्ठत्य कर्मकृत् कार्यते ह्यभिशा कर्म गुणाय स्वाभाविकाय बलात् Ladies, Karmakrit, Karyate Yavisha Karma, Vikar Palat. Kaschipshanamapi Satyatishtatya Karma Krit Aryateya Visha Karma Avalikar Balat Na Not He Indeed Kaschit, anyone, kshanam api, even for a moment, jatu, at any time, tishtati, remains a karmakrit, without doing anything. Karyate, he is caused to perform. He indeed avashaha automatically karma fruitive activities gunai by the three modes of nature, svabhavikai, which are produced by his own tendencies in previous lives, balat, by force. Translation: not a single living entity can remain unengaged even for a moment. One must act by his natural tendency according to the three modes of material nature, because this natural tendency forcibly makes him work in a particular way. Please repeat. Not a single living entity can remain unengaged even for a moment. One must act by his natural tendency according to the three modes of material nature, because this natural tendency forcibly makes him work in a particular way. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The svabhavika, or one's natural tendency, is the most important factor in action. One's natural tendency is to serve, because a living entity is an eternal servant of God. The living entity wants to serve, but because of his forgetfulness of his relationship with the Supreme Lord, he serves under the modes of material nature and manufactures various modes of service, such as socialism, humanitarianism, and altruism. However, one should be enlightened in the tenets of the Bhagavad Gita and accept the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that one give up all natural tendencies for material service under different names and take to the service of the Lord. One's original natural tendency is to act in Krishna consciousness, because one's real nature is spiritual. The duty of a human being is to understand that since he is essentially spirit, he must abide by the spiritual tendency and not be carried away by material tendencies. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has therefore sung, Miche mayayara vase yacha beshe kacha habu dabu bai. My dear brothers, you are being carried away by the waves of material energy and are suffering in many miserable conditions. Sometimes you are drowning in the waves of material nature, and sometimes you are tossed like a swimmer struggling in the ocean. End quote. As confirmed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this tendency to be battered by the waves of Maya can be changed to one's original natural tendency, which is spiritual. When the living entity comes to understand that he is eternally Krishna Das, a servant of God, Krishna. Jive Krishna Das, a Vishwas, Karlaita Araduka Nai. If instead of serving Maya under different names, one turns his service attitude toward the Supreme Lord, he is then safe, and there is no more difficulty. If one returns to his original natural tendency in the human form of life, by understanding the perfect knowledge given by Krishna himself in the Vedic literature, one's life is successful. Translation again. Not a single living entity can remain unengaged for even a moment. One must act by his natural tendency according to the three modes of material nature. Because this natural tendency forcibly makes him work in a particular way. So this verse discusses our natural tendency. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna states that everyone must act according to his nature. What will repression accomplish? So this idea that we should work according to our nature, what can repression accomplish, sounds very easy and palatable. We can act according to our nature. But the truth is that we have two natures. We have two natural tendencies. Our original natural tendency is to serve Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jivera Swarupaya Krishnera Nityadas. Our constitutional position is that we are eternal servants of Krishna. But somehow or other, we fallen souls in the material world have turned away from the service of Krishna and have come under the spell of the three modes of material nature and are engaged in the service of Maya. And the result of these two different types of service is very different. When one engages in the service of Maya, one is tossed by the waves of the three modes of material nature in the ocean of samsara, birth and death. Whereas if one engages in the service of Krishna, one is safe and secure, free from the miseries of material existence. So if we consider carefully the result of the two types of service, the result of following the two different natural tendencies, we will conclude that it is in our interest to revive our natural tendency to serve Krishna and not prolong the tendency to serve Maya and suffer. Now, Srila Prabhupada gave one talk in Seattle, Washington, and it was in the rather early days of the Krishna consciousness movement in America, and one young man in the audience said that he did not feel that he should have to bow down to anyone, that we are all equal. And Srila Prabhupada replied that you have to bow down because that is your nature, to bow down. When you go to work, do you not bow down to your boss? He said, yes, I do, but that's material. I understand that materially I have to bow down. But spiritually, I don't think I should have to bow down to anyone, because spiritually we are all equal. Well, in a way that's true. Every living entity is the same spiritually. But apart from the individual souls, the jivatmas, there is the Supreme Soul, Paramatma. And we are meant to bow down to the Supreme Soul, Krishna. Well, Srila Prabhupada explained that to the young man. And he concluded that you have to bow down. And if you do not bow down to Krishna, then you will have to bow down to death. Mrityu sarva harascha. You'll have to bow down to the repetition of birth, death, old age, and disease. And here, Srimad Bhagavatam gives the same instruction. Srila Prabhupada makes the same point in the purport, that if you don't serve Krishna, you'll have to serve Maya. And serving Maya means suffering, janma, mritu, jara, vyadi, dukkha, so many miseries. And success in life means to give up that tendency, natural tendency to serve Maya, in favor of reviving our eternal service to Krishna, which is also natural to the living entity. And there is a process for doing so, and that process is called Bhakti Yoga. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also says, Devi hiye sugunamayi mama maya duratyaya. That the material nature consisting of the three modes is very difficult to overcome. Mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. But one who surrenders to Krishna can easily cross over maya. And Srimad Bhagavatam says the same thing. This verse I'm going to quote, we used to sing every morning in the Boston Temple. So I'll sing it. Samasrita ye pada palavam plavam Mahat padam punya yasho murare Bhavam buddhir vatsa padam param padam 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 yadvi padam natesham. The meaning is that the material world is like an ocean, and there is danger at every step. But one who takes shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, for him that vast ocean becomes reduced to the size of a puddle in the hoof print of a calf. Although there is danger at every step, the devotee crosses right over it. Because his goal is not to try to enjoy the material world, but his goal is Parampadam, the supreme abode, where he can engage in eternal service to Krishna. So given our condition in the material world, we should engage in devotional service and bhakti yoga to reform our tendency to engage in speculative ideas and sense gratification and come back to our original position. And in the process of bhakti yoga, there are some activities that are common for everyone. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. Everyone, no matter what your conditioned nature is, everyone should engage in these basic activities. Shravanam, hearing about Krishna from the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and other shastras. Kirtanam, repeating what one has heard. Preaching, teaching, preaching. And also chanting the holy names of Krishna. And smaranam, remembering Krishna. If you engage very seriously in chanting and hearing about Krishna, then naturally you'll remember him. Srila Prabhupada said, if you just read the Krishna book, then whatever you see will remind you of Krishna. Had that experience. So Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. But in the conditioned stage, we are not able to engage exclusively in chanting and hearing about Krishna and remembering him. We also need some practical engagement for our senses, some work. And according to Bhagavad Gita and according to the present verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, that work will be done according to our acquired nature under the three modes. And there is no use to fighting that tendency to work in a particular way, because that natural tendency will force us to work in a particular way. So there is no point in trying to fight the type of work that we're impelled to perform by the force of material nature. And there's no reason to, because Krishna accepts any service that the living entity offers with love and devotion. In the material world, we might think, oh, I have to become a learned scholar. I have to get my MABA PhD. Or we might think, I have to become very popular and influential. I have to have some position in society, some position in some organization, some position in the government. Or we might think, I need to have money. But none of these things matter to Krishna. Krishna doesn't care whether you're learned or simple. He doesn't care whether you have a very powerful position in society. He doesn't care whether you have lots of money and material opulence. He only cares if you want to serve him with love. That's the only thing that matters to Krishna. So there's no point in trying to change the type of work that you perform according to your nature, because you will be forced to perform that type of work. And in any case, Krishna doesn't discriminate between different types of service. He accepts all service equally. What he does consider is the mood of devotion, the purity of purpose. That said, there is a special service that Krishna appreciates especially, and that is the service of preaching. In the Bhagavad Gita, he says that one who teaches the science of Bhagavad Gita is his most dear servant, and there will never be one more dear. And for such a person, devotional service is guaranteed, and in the end he will return to Krishna. But that service, that again can be done by anyone. It's the same Shravanam Kirtanam. But instead of doing it alone, one does it with others. And that pleases Krishna more. And if one has a very strong desire and surrenders to Krishna, he can learn to do something that is not easy. He can learn to do something that does not come naturally to him. I think of our dear God brother, His Holiness Sridhar Swami Maharaj. He had a sort of burly build, and when he came to India, to Juhu, and we were beginning the project here, Srila Prabhupada said that he should be in charge of the construction materials, because he was had a very strong build, and one would have thought that would be appropriate for him. But Sridhar Swami had the idea that he wanted to preach. And he set himself to that task. He studied the books. He learned scriptures. He met people, and he gradually became expert. He even learned some Hindi. I used to preach in Pakistan, and once I invited him, and he gave a whole talk in Hindi, or Urdu, almost the same. And people loved it. Then I arranged another program, and I said, he said, what language should I speak? And I said, I think, well, Urdu, Hindi, Urdu will be better. He said, well, will the same people be coming? And I said, well, some of the same people might come. He said, well, that could be a problem, because I memorized one speech in Hindi. And that's the only pravachan I can give in Hindi. But he did it. And many of our friends, very important people in Mumbai, he cultivated them. Before coming here, I was in England and observed Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day at Bhaktivedanta Manor. And one of the speakers was Srila Prabhupada's disciple, Dhananjay Das. And he told some wonderful stories that I had never heard before. He told how he met the devotees, and then eventually he met Srila Prabhupada. And it was an informal setting, and Srila Prabhupada was looking and asking if anyone had any questions. So he was completely new. He didn't know what to say. But he did have one thing on his mind, so that was the question he asked. And the question was, when can I be initiated? Like the first words he ever spoke to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada replied, that we shall see. But of course he was initiated and eventually Srila Prabhupada had him posted in Vrindavan. And the way the householders would live them, it was, of course, we didn't have much facility, but they lived pretty much like brahmacharis and brahmacharinis. And Srila Prabhupada felt for Dhananjay and his wife, it would be better if they had their own place to stay and had a source of income. So he told Dhananjay that that someone in Bombay has donated some land to me with a house, so you can stay there. So Dhananjay went. And there was some land. It was completely overgrown. There was a very small house, you could say, with no electricity, no plumbing, and there was no compound wall. And generally people were coming to that place and doing their morning things, and so he went back to Srila Prabhupada and he said, I don't know if I can live there. But anyway, that land was donated by one Mr. Taparia in Bombay, and Mr. Taparia had been met by His Holiness Sridhar Swami. And he said, I have some land in Vrindavan, I want to give it. And I was the temple president and I dealt with the legal affairs. So Sridhar Swami told me and I went to meet Mr. Taparia and we worked out the legal documents, and now that land has been developed. That's the Goshala land in Vrindavan. So it doesn't matter what one's nature is. What matters is that we engage our natural tendencies in Krishna's service. And then the more we surrender to Krishna, the more Krishna gives us the intelligence how to serve Him. And we may go beyond what we may go beyond our habitual type of work. So this is a wonderful truth. This is a wonderful truth. That anyone can serve Krishna in any way according to their capacity. You don't have to become something other than what you already are, materially or spiritually. Spiritually, you're already eternal servant of Krishna, and whatever you are materially, you just serve Krishna according to your nature. And Srila Prabhupada never discriminated against a person on the basis of his modes. Like someone might think, I'm in the mode of goodness, or I like to be with people in the mode of goodness. Well, I mean, that might be true. People generally like to be with people who are similar to them. But it doesn't matter what your motive is. You can serve Krishna according to your nature in the company of other people who are engaged in such service. I'm thinking a lot about Sridhar Swami, so I'll describe just a little bit about his background. He had told me the story of the first time he met devotees. They were chanting on the streets in Berkeley, California, which is a very hip place and university town. And he approached a devotee who was at the book table. He had books, incense, posters, and he started to talk with him. So Sridhar Swami was a bit of a rough person. I didn't know this before, but by coincidence or some divine arrangement, I met a childhood friend of Sridhar Swami's on a flight from Los Angeles to Dallas. And, you know, I don't usually talk to people that much on flights. I chant and keep busy. Somehow, going to the men's room, I passed him and, you know, he was standing there and he looked at me and I looked at him. And I don't know, I just said, Hare Krishna. He said, Hare Krishna. And then he said, we started talking. So it turned out that he was a childhood friend of Sridhar Swami. And he described Sridhar Swami's life before he met the devotees. That he was a very tough person. And every weekend, he and his friends would go out and get drunk and fight. That was their regular routine. They would drink and then they'd slug it out with each other. So anyway, that was a little bit of background I didn't have. But what Sridhar Swami told me was the first time he met devotees. So he went up to the fellow at the book table. And there was a poster of Krishna. And Sridhar Swami said, who's that? So the devotee said, that's God. And Sridhar Swami said, that's God? He said, yes. So Sridhar Swami said, well, what would you do if I took that picture of God and ripped it into pieces? And the devotee replied, well, I guess I'd have to kill you. And Sridhar Swami was very impressed. He liked that answer. And he probably thought, okay, I can relate to these people. I can join this organization. So birds of a feather flock together. People, so it doesn't matter, this is the point, it doesn't matter what your nature is, you can serve Krishna. And it also doesn't matter what your nature is, because you can also preach and appeal to people of the same type of nature. One of my god brothers used to say that when people look at devotees, they want to see someone who exemplifies what they are, but in perfection with Krishna consciousness. And then they feel, oh, I can do that. I can be like that, but be Krishna conscious. And then no anxieties, no moroseness, and I can be happy, and my future can be guaranteed in Krishna consciousness. So I can be like him, because I'm already like him, but I'm not Krishna conscious. So if I add Krishna consciousness, I can be like that devotee, and that will be my perfection. And that's the truth. So Krishna consciousness is completely universal and applicable to all people at all times. It's like the verse begins, Nahi kaschit kshanam api. Not a single living entity can be without engagement for even a moment. That's a universal principle. And what Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us, what Srila Prabhupada told us, is that you can add Krishna. You can do what you're doing for Krishna. And that is a universal principle. And that is why that is what Srila Prabhupada came to tell the world. He traveled all over the world to deliver this same message, that you are the eternal servant of Krishna. Radha Krishna Bola 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 Re Sabha. That's the beginning of this song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Just chant the holy names of Krishna, Radha and Krishna. Hare Krishna, don't be tossed by the waves of nature, but come to the secure protection of Krishna. So that was his message, that was his mission. And for that purpose, he traveled all over the world, beginning at the advanced age of 70. Those of us who are getting up in years, we're starting to understand what it means to be 50, 60, 70. And Srila Prabhupada left India at the age of 70. He went to a completely foreign country and began from nothing. And he reciprocated perfectly with everyone, because he wasn't in the bodily concept of life. He didn't identify with any particular nature, conditioned nature, but he identified only as Krishna's servant. And he saw that everyone is by nature Krishna's servant. And he drew out that natural tendency in people to serve Krishna. And then he came back to India with some of his disciples from America, and he preached here, underwent so many difficulties, and now we have all these facilities to help us become Krishna conscious. We may not even be aware of the effort that Srila Prabhupada made, the pains that he took to create these facilities. But whether we are aware or not, of course we should be aware, but we should be aware that we are being tossed in the ocean of Maya, sometimes drowning and sometimes struggling just to breathe, and that we can get delivered from that by engaging in our natural propensity to serve Krishna. And as Srila Prabhupada said, even a dog, even a child can take part in this chanting, even a dog can take part. Anyone can take part and dance in ecstasy. So when someone comes to the temple, we should see, oh, this soul is part and parcel of Krishna. This soul also has a relationship with Krishna, just like me. This person is my brother or sister, and let me help this person revive his or her relationship with Krishna. And not waste this human life in the vain pursuit of speculative causes and sense gratification. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Oh, are there any questions or comments?
You have given so wonderful class, a very important topic. Though my question was little different, but I will like to connect it with the class. In the that material world, we have come here because we have not followed instruction of Krishna. We wanted to enjoy. That's why we have come here. It's not that easy that we can change our nature by association or by certain method here, because it's a deep rooted things have gone and in our heart for many, many years. Now, the real original question I was thinking, that sometimes we see that some people take everything spiritual and they do everything spiritually, and the material people will take everything material, though the coming to the program is material. I have to attend class, I have to give class, I have to chant Jai Radha Madhav, and thereafter question answer, and I have to run, and I have to attend a meeting, I have to go this, that. So 24 hours our material activity is very systematic, but it comes, when it comes to spiritual thing, how to chant even to Jai Radha Madhav, how to pronounce the sloka, everything. So some people do everything completely, whether they are preaching or going out or attending meeting or everything. Everything is spiritual. And some people by nature all the time, because that is their nature, they will do everything in a material way. And we can understand that they are considering this spiritual activity as material activity. How to come out of that?
It's a very good question, very important question. Everything depends on our desire. Two people can engage in the same activity, but according to their desire, their attention, they will get a different result. Yes. So when we chant, when we hear, when we serve, if we have a genuine desire to come out of our material conditioning and our material consciousness and serve in that mood and pray in that mood, then Krishna will help us. Krishna's in the heart. He knows our desires. He knows our mentality, and if our desire is to serve Him, He will help us. Like you're saying, you can tell, I mean, I don't know, but you said you can tell the consciousness of different people chanting and serving. You can tell the difference of, so what to speak of Krishna? He can tell. Anyone can tell. Vrijan Prabhu would give the example of chanting with a different mentality. You go to Loy Bazaar in Vrindavan, and the merchant, Hare Krishna Prabhu, Hare Krishna Prabhu, come, come, Hare Krishna Prabhu. Is he chanting Hare Krishna? Is he calling out to the Lord to be engaged in devotional service? He's not chanting Hare Krishna. He's trying to get business. So that, Hare Krishna Prabhu, Hare Krishna, come, come. That's not chanting Hare Krishna. The same, of course he benefits in a way, but he's not chanting Hare Krishna. O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. O Radharani, O Krishna, please engage me in this. What he is really thinking is, there's a customer. Let me drag him into my shop and sell him my goods. That's what he's thinking. So we can tell that. We can tell that. So what to speak of Krishna, he can certainly understand what is our mentality. But still he's so kind that even if someone chants his name with some other motive, he will try to find some way to purify that person's heart and bring that person to him. So somehow or other, if we approach Krishna, he will do whatever he can to purify us. So that's the advantage of engaging in the activities of devotional service and associating with devotees. Even if we have some ulterior motive, Krishna will try to find some ways and means to purify us, bring us to Him. There's one here and then.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for your wonderful class. Maharaj, my question is that in Bhagavad Gita there is one shloka that Ahankara Vimudatma Kartaham Iti Manyate. So it is said that only the modes are working, and the ignorant person, the soul, he thinks that he is the doer of all the activities. So Maharaj, question is that means if you are coming in the temple, and also I have heard from my Guru Maharaj Radhanath Swami, he said these modes of nature, they have the strings in their hands. When they want the soul should criticize someone, so they just pull the string. They want to eat somewhere out, though they just pull the string there, so that person will go there, like that. So question is this, Maharaj, we are coming in the temple, we are chanting, we are hearing in the lecture, sometime we then go out, we do some material activity. So this is also like all the modes are working. I'm not understanding exactly this thing. So we are doing some spiritual activity, that is also some modes are working on us, and it is also said in Bhagavad Gita that we have to go beyond all these three modes of nature. So how we will come to know that we are gone beyond, or we are still bound with those three modes?
Well, both are working with a devotee. the modes of nature are working and Krishna's working. And sadhana bhakti means that we come out of the control of the modes of nature and come under the control of Krishna and the internal potency. And generally it is a gradual process, and so the spiritual increases and the material decreases. I mean, as far as when you know that you're not under the modes of nature, you should always be afraid of Maya. If you think, oh, now I'm beyond Maya, now I can do anything, then you're very likely to fall down. So we shouldn't ever imagine we're beyond Maya. We should always think that we could fall down at any moment, and we should take desperate shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. And if you feel Maya's pulling you to go out and eat, then you just surrender to Krishna, surrender to Nityananda Prabhu, surrender to Srila Prabhupada, surrender to Guru Maharaj. Maya's pulling me, please help me, please save me. Because you can't do it on your own strength.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I just wanted to mention in that, if you study that purport in that 327, it's in the third chapter, Prabhupada makes a very interesting distinction in that purport that we're doing the same things, but one person knows that Krishna is Trishikesh, the controller of the senses. One person doesn't know. That's in the beginning stage of Krishna, of Krishna's explanation to Arjuna. Now, there's more advanced information to come. But just studying that, you understand that just by that knowledge, by that jnana, already you're making distinction between myself and the body, and the kshetra. So that's the beginning of spiritual advancement. That's where, you know, I am. I'm just kind of reminding myself constantly that I'm at the beginning. So by that acknowledgement, the process begins. But without that awareness, if you think you're the machine, then you're lost forever. So that's why it's a little confusing, because the fact is that it's just a step back. It's a perspective. Prabhupada once said that everything depends on perspective. So that's the perspective, and from the perspective you begin to advance. That's my understanding. Anyway.
Back there.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thanks for giving your beautiful association. My question is, like we all have desires, and I have my desire, and we have a strong desire, and at the same time you have like material desire, you have spiritual desire as well to serve Krishna. Now you said Krishna sees your bhav. Like whatever desire we have, we are trying to engage in Krishna's service. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, like unless you get a higher taste, you cannot give up the inferior things. So does, like if we have some strong material desire and we are trying to serve Krishna, does it elevate us to that higher taste? It's just a little bit of understanding I need, like I needs the clarification and understanding.
Can you repeat the last part so I'm sure I understand the question?
It's like if you have a strong desire, for say you have some material desire, at the same time you have strong desire to serve Krishna. And Krishna, you said, like Krishna sees your bhav, like, you know, I mean, he sees like, okay, how you're serving him. So does that kind of desire finally takes you to the higher taste, like, you know, I mean, in a progressive way?
Yes. If you see, it's a question of desire, it's a question of sincerity. And our sincerity can be tested. So we desire to serve Krishna, and we have a material desire. So will our desire to serve Krishna prevail? Well, ultimately that depends on us, how we deal with the tests. Sometimes Krishna will test us by fulfilling our material desire. And then if we get carried away with our success materially, then we fail the test. If Krishna feels that fulfilling that desire will not be favorable for your Krishna consciousness, you may not succeed. And that's also a test. That's also a test. You might think, oh, I tried to be a devotee of Krishna and I had this strong desire and my desire won't be fulfilled. It doesn't help to be a devotee of Krishna. Let me try something else. Let me go somewhere else. So it's not automatic, but Krishna will act in such a way as to help the devotee progress, so that the devotee does experience the higher taste. And but we always do have our free will, and it's not automatic. But if we really are sincere and cooperate with whatever Krishna does, and remain a surrendered soul to Krishna, then the higher taste will prevail. All right, thank you all very much.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.